Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
How much time till we're on?
We're on, Ron.
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome to it. Wednesday night, Sports Day edition. Matty Rogers, Jason Matthews in the Sports Day studio. Hello to our listeners through the Super Radio Network. We love, my favourite radio station, by the way, on Super Radio Network is 2HD. I'm going to get you in a minute. 1170 SCN. Hello to our listeners in Sydney. SCNQ 693 AM, 1620 on the Gold Coast. Our SCN track stations, SCN Fanatic, which you can hear on DAB Plus in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane, or on the SCN app. Hello to our listeners there. We are here thanks to the 7-seats award-winning Kia Sorento. Matty Rogers is fired up and overloaded on sugar tonight. Welcome to the show, Rats.
Thanks. You know what? This week, it's been a tough week, right?
It has.
It's been emotional. It's been hard. Yeah. And it's just, like, I was fired up about some stuff the other night. And I just, as a fan of rugby league, I'm understanding why fans get so frustrated.
All right, we'll get to that. You're obviously still talking about Felice Kafusi. That news broke last night whilst we were on air.
Amongst other things.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. Just let me run through a couple of things here. Gold Coast Titans winger Alofiana Camperera will be joining us on the show soon. Great young kid. 3 games for the Titans so far this year. He scored an amazing try on the weekend, which you loved.
Yeah.
But I love him. I love him because he's a small winger. The last small winger is sitting opposite me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still small. Not for much longer if I keep eating those caramel slices. But yeah, and he is a lovely kid, and I can't wait to have a chat with him. Seeing his growth over the last few years and coming through the Titan system and seeing the reward of that. I'll get to that. Yeah.
I am disappointed in one thing. I will raise that with him. It's got to do with his style. So I want to have a chat to him about that. And hopefully he's not going to play for Queensland, being a Lismore-born boy. We'll have a chat about that too. Like it or loathe, it's a new segment that's popped up last week. I've lost the intro to it. We'll have to find that. But what are you liking and loathing this week?
I'm loathing a lot.
Oh, we're going to get to that in just a sec. 0457 736 736. That's ridiculous as well. You got anything that's you found that is ridiculous around the world somewhere? I've got a beauty involving Michael Jordan. Well, not him, his son.
Oh, really?
I can't believe some of the stuff that's come out. And Simon Orchard from Greyhound Racing New South Wales has got some tips for Wenty Park tonight. Right. Let's get into a couple of things. Before we get into the Felice Kafusi decision by the judiciary last night, I know you want to blow up about that. We're just quickly talking before the show started. And if there's a problem in rugby union, this week we're seeing one of the biggest idiotic rules that Rugby Australia have imposed on their players.
Yeah, I think it would have to do with the Players Association as well as Rugby Australia. It would be a joint decision. I don't think Rugby Australia would enforce it without the ratification of Rupa. I just don't think they are in touch with where their game is at.
So the Brumbies are playing the Crusaders.
That's correct.
And the Brumbies have to rest 5 Wallabies from this match.
Yep.
Like,
what?
Yeah, so, I know, Oprah.
So the rules are, so key Wallabies must be rested for at least 3 games and not play 5 weeks in a row. Brumbies are forced to play without 5 Wallabies this week. This is a Wallabies World Cup resting policy.
Are you serious? Like, what's that do for the game?
It does horrible things for the game. and it does horrible things for your game. Continuity and consistency is what creates a good footballer. Stopping players from playing based on, you know, resting. I mean, I get it to a degree.
But
in a World Cup year, in a World Cup year, you want to be playing and you want to be match hardened. So when you go into that World Cup, you are ready and raring to go. This is, I just think they are completely out of touch with the state of their game in the public eye, and this is just another blight on it by resting their star players. So the fans, I mean, yeah, I do.
Why would Rugby Australia sign off on this? Like, people are.
Rupa's very powerful, mate. The Players Association is very powerful.
But, Rat, this is crazy. People aren't going to watch that game now.
No.
Because there's five Wallabies missing. Is this something you think Eddie Jones will try and change now that he's in charge of the rugby program in Australia?
He'd have zero say in it. Zero. I'm telling you, the Rugby Union Players Association is a powerful union. And that all the players are on board. I was a part of it. And I saw some things happen and I was just shocked. You know, I mean, you know, it is a real positive in a way. But it also is, you know, when you see things like this, you just scratch your head and just think, boys, you know, for the sake of your game, if you don't want to be going to Europe to have to play to make money, you better pull your fingers out because that's what's going to happen. It's going to turn into soccer in this country where our best players have to go overseas to make money because nobody's going to be watching it here. And that's the reality of the situation right now. That's where the game stands. You can sell it, like Eddie said, you can sell what the game has to offer. You can sell it, you know, we travel the world, we play in World Cups, and that's only going to go so far.
I'm reading here on a text that this was part of Dave Rennie's coaching plan for the World Cup year.
Hmm. It doesn't make sense to me.
I've got a text here from Mystery Man. In regards to the Wallabies resting policy, are we even surprised, boys? The sport's dead. Just when we've been talking so positively about rugby in Australia with the reappointment of Eddie Jones, we won't be able to watch the best players play against each other because of a stupid resting policy.
Yeah.
You've just given a free kick to every other code this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they've been given free kicks to them for the last 10 years. And they continue to do so. And so they wonder why their game's in the toilet. When I say in the toilet, I mean...
Well, it is.
Who's watching it?
I don't even know where to find it.
It's on Stan behind a paywall if you want to watch it. It's sad. It is really sad. I mean, I loved my time in rugby. Absolutely loved it. I spent so many great years travelling with some amazing people, have lifelong friends, played in front of thousands of people every week for the Waratahs and the Wallabies, you know, travelled the world to nations that just, you know, the game is a religion in those countries, to South Africa, to New Zealand, you know, even to, you know, you go and play at Twickenham and you know, the old Cardiff Arms Park, Millennium Stadium. In front of 80, 90,000 people, Stade Francais, 90,000 people, you know, playing in France. Like, in this country, we're just missing it. We are missing it. And it is a absolute shame because it is just a great, the players are amazing, a great group of guys, and they are being misled on this front. They should have said, nah, we don't want to rest, we want to play. Our fans deserve it, and I want to be on the field.
Yeah, text here from Simon. And great point. Lads, these Wallabies that are getting rested, wouldn't it be smarter to have them play than have the week off from training to remain fresh? Like, yeah. what a great solution.
Mm.
You know, this
playing's
is...
the easy part. Playing's the fun part.
Yeah.
You take that away from a player and go, no, we just want you to train. It's like, what? Or as Oprah would say, I don't want to train. I want to play.
Yeah. You Sorry, know, Oprah is here, by the way.
What?
Fell asleep.
If I got told that, it's like, sorry, yeah, no, we're not going to let you play this week, but we're going to flog you at training.
Rat, you're saying this is the players' union. Would the players be 100% on board with this? Do you think?
I'm going to make some phone calls and find out.
Yeah,
I'm really interested to find out.
Jace reckons the West Tigers are also using a resting policy. Is that true? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
No.
What are you doing?
I'm getting text messages. from rugby people.
Right, yeah. I'll say it again. Jace reckons the West Tigers are using a resting policy. True or false?
Well, they're playing, but they're also resting. So that's probably the problem. They've got to actually really separate the two. Stop resting while you're playing.
Felice Kaufusi, the decision came through last night and you were yelling at a cloud. I couldn't stop you. I had to go to a break to stop you and calm you down.
I've settled down a bit. If you put, you know, Joseph Soli'i's tackle side by side with Felice Kaufusi's, and you can tell me that Felice Kaufusi's was worse than Soli'i's, who got graded a grade one and got fined, and then Felice Kaufusi gets grade two and 3 or 4 weeks. If you can put those two tackles together and you can tell me that they are not, or that Soli'i's isn't worse, then you're a moron.
Mm.
Plain and simple. And it's like, are the judiciary's hands tied because of the match review committee?
Well, it's the match review committee that's putting him there.
Yeah, well, the match review committee needs to be reviewed because that was an incredibly poor decision by them to rate that a category two when it was just, I mean, if you're going to have, like, there's precedents been set. Like, that's a category one, what we just saw, a hit in the back when the ball was clearly gone. And then he, in the action of passing the ball, is in motion, pulls out of the tackle and gets to grade two. It's just, it's poor form. The game is going to suffer because of it. The game on the weekend and the Dolphins are going to suffer for, you know, the next 4 weeks.
Not to be negative about the game, because the game's in a wonderful place.
That's
but
great.
There are a lot of inconsistencies. And I think I'm just a fan. I haven't played the game like you, but they're just too many layers of decisions and rules. Like, you know, you looked at the HIA and you quite rightly said, and I quietly fumed as a South supporter when you had Victor Radley and Jared Wawira Hargraves bang heads together.
Brutally
in the game. And Victor Radley, quite rightly so, goes off for an HIA. He's got blood pouring from his head.
From Jared Wawira Hargraves' head.
Which, it's a big melon and it's a strong melon. But why wasn't he instructed to have an HIA?
Mm.
Like, where are the... it's crazy. And people are getting hit in the... not getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Look, and are being made to have an HIA.
Can I say this? In defence of the NRL, they're not trying to upset us. They're trying to get it right. But in trying to get it right, they're trying so hard and they're putting so many people in different areas to make decisions that it's becoming a little bit annoying, a little bit farcical.
It's a simple game,
right? For this time of year, I mean, we're in round three. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be upset. But I'm being put in this position where it's just annoying and it's frustrating. And I just want to enjoy the game without these frustrations that are overwhelming.
Well, so what's the fix?
This is the issue, Jason. I mean, what is the fix? You know, how do we manage this? I mean, is the match review committee the same every week?
I'm not 100% sure on that.
Because, I mean, that would probably help for starters. Because The same people doing it every week. I'm unsure. I'd like to know that. Can we find that out somehow?
0457 736 736. No doubt our listeners will let us know. Or 1300 01 11 70.
Because there was a stark contrast in those two tackles. One got graded a grade one. One got graded a grade two. I think the worst one, you know, going by, you know, the eye test, watching it. And you had, you know, I heard Gordy, you know, banging on today. You do the crime, you do the time. He had to get sent for a HIA. Well, I think that was a bad call too because he didn't get hit in the head. It wasn't a high shot.
Yeah, but whiplash can be just as bad as you know.
But I'm just saying it's you know, but then we have people hitting the head that don't go off.
Yeah, we want consistency. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And every fan you talk to says the same, right?
I don't want to get all dirty on the game. I love the game. I just want it to be – I want it to be the best for us. I want it to be the best for our listeners. Our listeners love the game. It hurts me when I see people, like, say, I'm done with it. I'm done. This is a joke. Like, it actually hurts me. Like, I've lived this game since I can remember. You know, from the moment I could walk, all I wanted to do was put a pair of football boots on and play. And the bigger we get, you know, the more, you know, layers that we seem to have. And, you know, I just, seems to be a lot of chefs in the kitchen.
I think also the ones that say they're done, they're not done.
No, they're not done. But
you just want to watch your footy and forget about rubbish. And there's just too many layers. You want the next thing that's really upset you, and it's riled me as well today. How about this? Anthony Griffin has been asked to reapply for his job for next year and beyond. According to reports out of 9 newspapers, like Dragons will talk to other coaches. Jason Rowles has been named as a possibility, and also they might want to talk to Craig Bellamy again. Well, Craig Bellamy's not leaving Melbourne. I know this is probably his last year of coaching, but I think 2 years ago he signed a 5-year deal, right? So he's not leaving Melbourne.
And but he's going to leave issue. Melbourne to go to St. George. Right? Like, it's an absolute rabble, that club.
Yeah. Like, I've never heard of this before, and again, these are reports out of 9 newspapers, that a board tells a coach after round 3, they've played 2 games, they had a bye in the first week, that you're going to have to fight for your job and you're going to have to apply for your job for next year. Fair enough, his contract expires at the end of this year. But why would you do it at the end of the third round? I'm telling you now, Rat, Dragon's done for the year.
Oh, what? Well, he's certainly done at the end of the year. There's no way he's getting the job. I mean, I'd like to know, like, when they were sitting around the boardroom, and they were all discussing, like, okay, so how do we handle this? All right, well, let's just tell him if he wants to keep his job, he's got to reapply. Oh, that'll come across well in the media. That'll be a really good look for us. Like, we can't make a decision, or we don't have the balls to actually tell him that, you know, we're not going to continue on with him. They just don't have the guts to tell him he's done. Or they don't have the stones to go, right, we're moving on, we're finding a new coach, and they want to hedge their bets.
Yeah.
No, okay, we don't want to make a decision, you know, but we're going to make a decision without making a decision.
You're yelling.
Sorry.
I'm with you.
It's just...
But well, what good? Take another step back. Put Hook to the side for the moment, and he's a bloody good bloke. Anthony Griffin, terrific. I think he's a great coach as well. But what benefit's that going to do for the playing group?
If I was Hook, I'd be walking into the club going, you can stick your job up your blurter. I'm going to coach these blokes to the finals this year.
And then I'm leaving.
And I'm out. You can keep your job. I'll go somewhere else.
Well, Michael Clark said it today on Sky Radio, saying that what if he did reapply for the job, has a great year, and then they have to reappoint him. How embarrassing is that for the board?
Oh, it's just shocking. I mean, it seems like a real, I was going to say, something show.
Yeah.
Well, and exactly what it is down there. It's, there's been innuendo about the off-field stuff. There's been innuendo about the playing group and the coach. And it's like, well, all right, we'll deal with it and make it. Like, you haven't dealt with anything here. You've just created more stuff for people like us to hammer your club about.
And you've had a lot of sugar. Do you want to calm down a bit? Do you want to talk to Craig from Maitland? He's on the line. He reckons St. George is a funny club. Craig, g'day. Welcome to Sports Day.
Yeah, they have an innate desire to become a laughing stock, do they? I can't believe some of the stuff that goes on down there.
Yeah, are you a St. George fan, Craig?
No, I'm not. It just makes you wonder. Do they deliberately do this?
Yeah. Well, I've always, when you've got a firm direction and a goal, and you're heading towards something, it's funny how the sort of seas part for you. You've got direction. It just seems like they have zero direction. They don't know what they're doing. Their recruitment's been pretty average over the last few years. The playing group, the board, it just seems like you're right. It's a bit of a laughing stock of the league at the moment.
I want to hear from Dragons supporters. Do you think this is a great idea? Maybe we're right off the mark. Maybe we're completely off the mark, and maybe this is the right way to do it. Maybe Dragons supporters. I know you're shaking your head, but I'm
Dragons supporters will be angrier than us. They'll do a march down to the club, I bet. Well, they should. And say, give us something.
Yeah, right. All right, well, let's hear from them. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. 0457 736 736 is our text number, or 1300 01 1170. Mystery Man again has told us Hook was told in the off-season. News just broke in round three. But what does that do? You've got a whole season ahead of you.
Well, the rugby league world, there's no secrets in the rugby league world, as we know.
Well, I'm going to go to a break, but very quickly, let's have a chat to Mark from Wentworthville. G'day, Mark.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. Are you ringing about the Dragons?
Yeah. I've been a fan of the Dragons since I could crawl, you know. I'm in my mid-50s, and I've got to tell you, they always blame the coach and the players, that board itself, and Matty's right. It is a rabble. It is a beef show. Right? It's been like that forever. And until they take away the old head and get someone that's going to run the club for a club to be successful and not a show for the boys, jobs for the boys, then I think the Dragons will always be like this.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, right, mate. Thanks for your call on that. Mark, before you go, are you a fan of Hook being the coach of the Dragons?
Look, when he first got appointed, I thought he would be good. To be honest, I thought he would be good. He'd be the stabilising person that we need at the club. I'm not sure right now. I'm not sure if he's really wanting to be the coach either, to be honest.
Well, I don't think he will anymore.
I just think, you know, when you hear some of the comments that come from him and then the comments that come from them, you know, him talking about his players and them talking about him, the club talking about him. I'm not sure if it's the right thing to have. You know, I would love to see, you know, and I don't like jobs for the boys, but you know what? Riles has done a great job under Bellamy over there in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
He's done his time, yeah.
Not taking anything away from Jason Riles. He'll be a great appointment. He spent some time with Eddie over the England rugby team as well. There's no doubt he's got credentials. But, perhaps. Hey, mate, we've got to go to a break because we want to chat to a young Titan. Thanks for your call, buddy. 0457 736 736 is our number. That's our text number, or 1300 01 1170. Dragon supporters, what do you make of this news today? We'd love to hear from you. Break time. When we come back, we've got a great young kid, a winger. He's about 80 kilos, ringing wet, I should say. Alofiana Khan Pereira joins us next on Sports Day.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon.
Foran goes wide again. Khan Pereira stops and starts. Oh, he's lightning.
Oh, he certainly is. That try on the weekend, it looked like someone had blown the whistle and told everyone to stop. And what do you have, about a metre of room?
It was one of the great finishes that I've seen in the modern game. I mean, it wasn't the big dive. It wasn't the big, you know, ball in the corner. But for someone who's played on the wing and someone who's been in that position to finish in that amount of space was something special.
Well, he's on the phone right now. Lofiana Khan Pereira joining us right now on Sports Day. How are you? Can we call you Lofi?
Luffy.
Luffy?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Awesome, mate. Hey,
thank you so much for having me.
Mate, like I said, mate, I was so impressed with your try on the weekend, but equally as impressed with the start of your season. I mean, you made your debut in round one. I read earlier in the year that you felt like this was the year. This was where that first grade spot was in reach. And you said that you'd change. You said you'd become a better person off the field and on the field. What do you mean by becoming a better person off the field that would bring that opportunity within reach for you?
I did say that this year was the year, and lots of things changed off and on the field. I guess I think the focus side of things, I always thought like playing rugby was just like having fun and just like another day of just just having fun, I guess. And then I never really took the little detail side of things seriously. So once I mashed them together, playing sport, like playing rugby and having that detail in it, then it became more passionate for me.
Yeah, that's good, mate. Well, you can certainly see the results, and I guess, you know, at the top level, that's what it's all about, mate. It's about getting those little things right because you've certainly got the skill. What, mate, tell us, you know, what's your backstory? You've been in the Titans for 3 years, but where were you before that?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? Where did you play? Because I see that you're available for Queensland, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
very good, very good.
I must be born in New South Wales.
We can continue now, Luffy. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you get started?
I was a bit of a late comer. I started rugby when I was 10 years old. I never knew about rugby until I moved to the GC. So I was born in Lismore.
Yep.
And then we moved to GC when I was 10. Didn't know what rugby was. Played soccer before. And then I started my junior footy at Burley Bears. And yeah, ever since then, just created a pathway to join the Gold Coast Titans and made a couple of rep sides, Queensland, Southeast Queensland, and did a bit of touch. Yeah, and then stuck to it, and now I'm playing for the Gold Coast Titans.
And, mate, killing it as well. This upsets me, and Rat's pointing at me, just having a good old laugh while you're talking. I'm a Blues supporter. It's another one. It's another New South Wales kid who could potentially pull on the Maroons jersey. What, you don't want to put on a Maroons jersey?
Yeah, you do, Luffy. Yeah, you do. It's the best thing
seriously,
ever.
Seriously, mate, you got
don't
to be
listen
a blue.
To him.
You got to be a blue through and through.
It is kind of hard choosing, but yeah, like I said, like I didn't know what rugby was until I moved up to GC. Sorry. I guess just like. Where I found rugby was in Queensland.
Nice.
Look, I'm glad you found the game, mate, because you've really impressed Matt Rogers. I got to ask you, if you didn't play rugby league or any, you know, egg ball shaped sport when you were growing, what did you do as a kid? Like, what sport did you play growing up in Lismore?
I played a lot of tiggy, to be honest. I was always running around with my cousins and my brother and my sisters, just always running. Yeah, so if it wasn't with a boy, it was always just running up hills with my cousins and family, yeah.
Oh, that's good, mate. Well, you just keep running, all right? Just keep avoiding those people in the other coloured jerseys. Mate, tell me, how are you finding it? I mean, you've been around the top squad for a few years now, but now to be a part of it, and I know, you know, that first game, there's a real novelty factor to it. It's your first game in the NRL, but you've been there for a few games now, and it becomes a little bit more job-like. How are you finding the pressures of being an NRL player and the challenges week in, week out that come with having to perform every time you step on the field?
Honestly, it's a massive step from Q Cup to NRL. At the start, I was a bit nervous, and I definitely needed a couple more games to warm up into it because, I think I was just a couple games. I was just worrying about, like, it's NRL. It's finally the spot I want to be at. I just want to be more comfortable if I got those couple of rounds out of the way. And now, like, I think I am a bit more comfortable, and as it proved on the weekend, and hopefully, you can just get better from now on.
Yeah, I think a great team is a team that competes with each other week in, like day in, day out at training. I noticed Chris Randall has come in for Sam Verrills, and man, he's put his hand up to say he wants to give the coach a headache in decision making when he's picking the hooker when Sam comes back. What is it like amongst the group there at training? You're all competing hard for positions, obviously, but is there a great camaraderie amongst the group?
Yeah, 100%. There's always that competition side of things, that training, and all the boys sometimes do forget that they are in the same team and sometimes push it. But I think it's what we need at the moment, and definitely like keeps boys on their toes to push that extra to keep their position. So yeah, congratulations to Randy. He's definitely deserved it. And yeah, man, he's killing it for us at the moment.
Yeah, good to hear. Mate, what I love about you as well, you're not one of these 6 foot something, you know, 110 kilo wingers. You're like a Matt, you're out of the Matt Rogers school of wingers.
I love it.
What are you, about 80 kilos ringing wet?
He's not even 6 foot, mate.
No, he's 181 centimetres. Yeah. Coming from the Burley Bears last year, I mean, you've lost your mullet, so that would have taken a few kilos off you as well, which I don't know. I can't believe you lost your mullet. That was an outstanding mullet. But, mate, have you had to beef up in the off season?
Yeah, that was one of the key points that I wanted to get into and finally put a bit of weight on and a bit of timber. That was definitely a key point to put to improve on.
Mate, you should be in here at Sports Day Studio. How many cakes? What are you eating over there, mate?
I got a caramel slice and a cup of tea.
Matt's trying out for the front. He's after a front row position at the Titans.
There's about as quick as him now. So.
There's Krispy Kreme donuts in the fridge as well. You've got a contract. For this year with the Titans, and you are going well. 3 tries from 3 games. I was really impressed as well with your form in that trial against the Dolphins. I think you had about 3 tries or something.
The first two minutes or something.
and you looked amazing on the wing. Have they spoken to you about extending your contract beyond this year?
Yeah, they definitely have. I guess just like little talks then and there. I think they've told me to just focus on playing, because if I have contracts in my head or in the way of me playing, that it could I just don't want to get a big of a head. Yeah. So I think I just want to improve on myself and show people that I can handle NRL grade, and I just want to show not just Titans but everyone else that I can be an NRL player.
Well, you're certainly showing it, mate. And one way to not think about contracts is get that club to put a big, long one in front of you with lots of zeros and a big number in the front. Then you can forget about contracts, mate. You deserve it. You're doing an amazing job. Tell me, what are your goals for this year? What? When you started this year, obviously it was to play in the NRL. You're doing that now. Have you got any other bigger goals that you're trying to set that you've set yourself to achieve?
To be honest, not at the moment. I don't have set goals, but if there's any close ones, any close thoughts that I have, is probably just to keep my spot, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, mate, it's a good place to start. It's what you're doing right now is you are impressing a lot of people who are watching the game of rugby league. We've all been super impressed. Your humility really comes through as well, mate. So congratulations.
Yeah, good to hear.
You're doing a great job. And we look forward to watching you week in, week out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the support.
Alofiana Khan Pereira, mate, good luck with the rest of the season. Quickly before you go, I just want to ask you one last question. Mate, who's your hero?
My hero is my dad. Yeah, my hero is my dad. He's always been there for me and always pushed me there to get to where I am today. And without him, I don't know where I'd be right now.
All right, mate. Good luck. That's awesome, mate. Really nice to hear. Good luck against the Cowboys up in Townsville this weekend with the Titans. And thanks for joining us on Sports Day.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Matt Rogers, Jason Matthews here tonight. 0457 736 736 is our text number. Or 1300 01 1170, you can call us. Geez, the stuff about Hook Anthony Griffin being put on notice by the board at the Dragons, saying you have to reapply for his job after round 3. Well, it's been made public, round 3. What do you think, Dragon supporters? 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. Wrap. We've got Simon from Belmore on the phone. G'day, Simon.
G'day, guys. Nice talking to you.
Now, you're a Dragon supporter?
I'm a long-suffering supporter. I've been going for since 1975, since I came to this country.
Nice.
I don't know what they're doing in the boy in a head office. I don't know what they do in the head office. But Anthony Griffin is such a nice bloke, okay? What I'm trying to say to you guys, it's not the coach playing for them. It's the players playing for the coach. Okay?
Yep.
That should be doing something. That should supposed to be supporting the coach. It's the board they gotta get rid of. Not the coach. It's the board. And if the players don't want to play for the coach, tell them to go somewhere else. Mm. There's always one door open, the other door closes. You know what I mean?
Yep, good point,
Simon. I mean, Anthony Griffin is one of the nicest Anthony Griffin is one of the nicest coach going around, okay?
Yeah, he's a decent bloke.
There's nothing wrong with Anthony Griffin, okay? He's a decent bloke. I met the bloke, and he's such a nice bloke. It's not the coach. It's the players and the board, okay?
Rightio, Simon from Belmore there. What do you reckon, right?
Yeah, the top clubs, I mean, do you hear about their board?
No.
Do you hear about any of that internal? Do you see poor decisions being made time after time? No, you don't. Mate, the best clubs have well-run operations from top to bottom, and it starts at the top, and that top is the board of directors and the chairman of the club.
A fish rots from the head, right?
Yep.
Tasman from Belmore as well. Geez, a lot of listeners in Belmore tonight. Mm. Tasman.
Hello.
You're a Dragons fan too, mate. I can't believe you're not a Bulldog supporter.
Oh, well, I'm torn between both teams. But, mate, you stole my thunder. I was going to say, yep, the fish smells from the head. It's quite disappointing. And it's really disappointing the way they've reacted like that. I mean, I understand their clubs are result-oriented and it's a business. But it's like saying giving someone a year's notice or a year to apply for their job. What enthusiasm and what respect are you going to have from the players? It'd be half-hearted. I mean, it's just appalling. It's not. That's not in the interest of the game.
Well, it's certainly not in the interest of your team. That is the reality of it. I mean, how you're
absolutely.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough call to be made. So I mean, it's just it reeks of a lack of I guess, intestinal fortitude to stand up and make a decision. It's like, we don't want to make a decision.
As you said.
Sorry, go on.
As you said, look at some of the strong clubs, the good clubs, the Roosters, the Panthers. I shouldn't say, maybe it's the wrong word to use. They run a tight ship.
They do.
Politis and his guys. I mean, this internal bickering, that's just terrible for a club that's representing, an iconic club, regardless. This is stuff.
All right.
Beyond. Anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Mate, we love
thanks,
you,
Tasman.
Mate, thank you for taking the time to speak.
Tasman, mate, thanks for that. See you, mate. Mick from Margaret River in WA.
Wow.
He's a Titans fan, but you want to have your say on the Dragons.
How are you, Woogie?
Yeah, Rat. Good, mate, good.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Hey, just so, Rat, just so you understand who Mick is, we're all going over to Margaret River and staying at his joint.
Yeah, a few glasses of Chardonnay and some grapes and cheese.
I picked you for a Chardonnay drinker. Yeah, anyway,
what's
Mick?
What's going on, Mick?
Mate, I just find it funny, like, the merry-go-round that happens at St. George. Now, we did the same thing with Justin Holbrook. Like, we'd be a hot mess again. Now, it just keeps on happening, like, it's just a merry-go-round at St. George. What do they get out of it? No one's going to play for him, and Hook's not a bad dude and a good coach.
Well, he knows his footy.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, he knows his footy, and you're right. It's like you just keep – it's like, two steps forward, three steps back. Two steps forward, three steps back. It's like you've got no continuity in your club. You've got no belief in the decision-makers in the club, and it just creates this – mediocrity around such a strong, proud, powerful club that is St. George.
Yep.
St. George Illawarra. I mean, my dad played for St. George for 3 years, and he said he got recognised more everywhere he went around the world for playing for St. George than he did for the 12 years he played at Cronulla.
There you go. All right, Mick, thanks for your call, mate. Appreciate it. There he goes, Mick in Margaret River. And you know what? Let's go back a step too. What Hook inherited there too, through the COVID time, he came into that job through COVID, barbecue gate, all that sort of stuff. He made big decisions around that. He stood players down for a long time.
Who's the one player that you'd build a club around at that club? Who's the one player?
Ben Hunt.
What has Ben Hunt got to say about?
I know, I'm just thinking that.
What has Ben Hunt got to say about Hook?
Great bloke.
Loves him.
Loves him, plays for him.
Mate, I'd be going, right, they're the two guys we need. Let's work around this.
Rightio, 0457 736 736 is our text number. Hey, boys, love the show. Giddy up, Matty. I love the open, honest commentary. and I hope you don't change. It's great. The Dragons and Tigers have the same issue. Their head office is a shambles. Until that is resolved, nothing will change. That's from HB Robbo. Yeah. We've got to go to a break, Matty. We'll
worries.
Be back with more texts in a moment. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Geez, we've got a ton of text messages to get through tonight. 0457 736 736. People are fired up about the Wallabies, the Dragons, and the Felice Kaufusi decision. But one quick text, something positive. I want to read something positive out, right? Gents, great interview with Olifana Khan Pereira. What a respectful young man. The Titans have a good human there. I'll even forgive him and let it slide that he kept calling rugby league rugby. We said that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
The production line of talent ensures that there will be enough depth for future expansion. That's Daniel from Prairie Wood. Yeah, good on you, Daniel.
Great young man, wasn't he? There is one other really positive text here. It says, boys, this is from Scott at Quakers Hill. It says, boys, Matt has been working such long, hard, arduous hours for the last few weeks. Thanks, Scott. I have been. I've been under the pump. This isn't all I do either, just so you know. This isn't like, this is all he does. He comes and talks to a microphone.
Yeah, righty-o. G'day, Jason Ratt. What do you think is more laughable, that Kaufusi got 4 weeks or the rooster that got off on a clear whack towards Campbell Graham's head? Don't start me. Thanks, buddy, from Birram.
This one makes a lot of sense from Gav from Penrith. Gavin from Penrith. He says, the Wallabies don't play until July and the Super Rugby season is only 15 rounds long. Compare that to the 27 rounds of the NRL plus 3 mid-season origin matches and a month of internationals at the end of the year. Now tell me which code needs to be resting players, Gavin from Penrith.
Yeah, true. Again, 5 Wallabies being rested from the Brumbies versus Crusaders clash this weekend. That has destroyed that fixture. No one will be... Well, I don't even know where it's bloody on, for starters.
Yeah.
I can't even find it anywhere. But anyway, keep your texts coming through. Wallabies played in November. Super Rugby started in February. Absolutely correct.
Well, they play in July. The Wallabies start their test campaign in July. But, I mean, they play the Tri Nations and they go into some end-of-season games.
On the Dragons, you won't find any Dragon supporters. They've all been told to reapply for their memberships. Great text, Razor. Thank you for that. Back in a moment. This is Sports Day for Kia.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Matty Rogers, Jason Matthews here for a Wednesday night. Normally, this is the quietest night in rugby league, but it's not.
Rugby league.
All right, mate. But it's not tonight.
No. Well, this is a really good point. This is from Daniel from Prairie Wood. He says, gents, the NRL's 2 joint venture clubs administration are utterly shambolic. Just when the West Tigers lay claim to being the biggest basket case in the game, St. George Illawarra say, hold my beer, and outdo them. Internal politics of 2 factions that make up both boards are responsible for the mediocrity that's thrown up to the fans and members, completely inept.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an absolute good point. Very, very. And that's Daniel from Prairie Wood. Mark from Prairie Wood, who, not related, says the Tigers and Dragons been making bad decisions for the last 10 years. Both merged clubs. Is it something to do about both sides of the mergers bickering?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's probably a good point, you know, to consider. I mean, you've got, you know, the West side, you've got the Tigers side. You know, they're all trying to have their say and then, are they getting on?
And you got Illawarra and St George.
And we know, I mean, St George wanted to, didn't I read something last year that they were thinking about dropping the Illawarra out
of
it?
Yeah,
I mean.
Well, that's what was reported. Who knows?
Yeah.
That would be That'd be nuts to do that. That'd be nuts. Hey, what about reptile? And this is the other side of the argument. And look, when you look at the figures, Hook's winning percentage was lower than Merry McGregor's when he was sacked as coach, right? Mm. Hook's recruitment decisions, sackable in its own right, set the club backwards 10 years. That's from Reptile. I don't agree with that. But some could argue, well, we're not having the wins, so he's not the right coach, and this is why we put him on notice. But at the same time, he's coached through a really difficult situation. That whole COVID thing, and as I said, barbecue gate, he took a stance on that sort of stuff as well. I don't think he's had time as well with all of that, and a lot of coaches through that period. But I don't think he's had the opportunity to have his stamp on that team. And he's starting to now. And mate, they were great in the first half against Brisbane. You said they were outstanding.
They were. They were running hard. They were tackling hard. They were a different side after the halftime break. It was noticeably different, the energy that they came out with, which isn't ideal. But they were running harder and tackling harder than Broncos in the first half, and that's why they were in the game.
And I reckon they just ran out of gas. And my theory on that to you was, well, they've only played two games. Broncos have got more meters in their legs.
Yep.
And they didn't play the first round.
Yeah.
So, and then look, time will tell. Do they last longer this week? Do they see out the game better this week because they've got those meters in their legs? Time will tell.
Mate, I got a text from Mal here. He says, "Boys, I'm a Dragons man since Stevie Morris tore them up. What a slippery Morris! What a great player he was. I signed up a few days ago with the Dolphins.
Jeez,
mate, that's a rusted on fan who's gone. Ah, I'm out. That's a shame, isn't it? Well, I mean, well." Congratulations to the Dolphins. You just earned yourself another fan. I think there's a lot of people that have jumped on the Dolphins bandwagon.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Hey, a text here from 127, another young superstar winger, of course, talking about Kaan Perera from the Titans, who idolises his dad and calls rugby league rugby. Could he, like Matt Rogers, end up a dual international? Time will tell, but he already looks the goods. He does.
He does look the goods. It's early days, but you know what I've enjoyed about watching him play is he just seems to just relish in the moment. You know, he doesn't look nervous. He takes the game on. He's got a tremendous speed and he's courageous. He puts himself in the middle. He's a complete player.
I'm missing the mullet though. He had a great mullet last year at Burley.
He did.
It was at least a metre long. It was outstanding. And just watching his darting runs across field through the opposition, it was just blowing in the breeze down there.
Yeah, oh, mate.
At Pizzy Park.
The flowing locks of Kaan Perera. Oh, what about this text from Steve from Dubbo? I understand your argument, Matty, but being a Para fan has completely drained me. I have no strength for any other plight. Steve, you'll get a win in a few weeks' time. Yeah. Don't worry. It's coming.
No, against West Tigers. Was that it? Yep. That's Easter Monday.
Round seven. Round six.
Easter Monday, that is. Hey, number one golfer from Oyster Bay on the line. Let's talk about the Dragons. Hello, number one golfer. Hello, you there?
Hello.
No, not there. All right. Well, hopefully we can come back to him. More texts here. What about this one from Gavin from Penrith, the one at the top there, Matty, about the Wallabies?
Oh, but yeah, I think I read
that. Have you
read
that one?
Yeah. Oh, about okay. Resting we'll players. One, yeah, it was, it's a, yeah, look, for me as a back, you know, certainly the game of rugby league is a far more physical and arduous game than playing rugby. That's not, like, I would never say that about a fellow like a Phil War or a Bill Young who, you know, packed into the scrums and they put their head over the ball and it's a very different game for those guys. But there are, you know, I mean, the game itself in terms of its week in, week out intensity, rugby league certainly has a lot more of that.
Yeah.
And our players seem to handle it all right. And I think our rugby players need to man up a little bit and go, no, we want to play.
Could you imagine the All Blacks players union saying, listen, you can't play five games in a row. You've got to sit out certain games to be prepared to play for the All Blacks.
Yeah, you know, the reality of that situation is though, Woogie, they could probably do that and there wouldn't be that much of a drop in standard. I don't think we have that luxury. You know, our top tier of players on their day when they perform can compete with anyone in the world and we need them ready.
Mm.
With the All Blacks, they can lose a few players and, you know, throw in a few more, and you know, you don't really see too much of a dip in the level of performance, and that's just the nature of.
Well, that's what you played to do. That's what you trained for, to play.
To play. Like I said, it's the fun part.
What about less training and more playing? Is this sports science going too far? Along with the rugby union players association or the players union, I just think it's gone too far, and it's happening in a lot of sports. Look at cricket. Remember when we went through that stage with cricket where they'd rest fast bowlers?
Mm.
Now, Jeff Thompson, Dennis Lilly, all these blokes, they never got rested. They never got these soft tissue injuries. Well, they played through it.
It's a different generation now.
But a body's a body, though, mate.
Yeah, I know, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, came out pretty. He was pretty parochial about these, you know, resting stars in the NBA. You know, like fans pay to come and play to watch them play. You know, a kid might be, you know, a fan of LeBron James and he's having a rest this week. It's like, no, but I want to watch him play. You get paid to play. You don't get paid to train. You get paid to play.
Yep.
And you get paid to win. That's the reality of it. And yeah, look, I'm not a big fan of it. I didn't even like resting from training. Like I mean, in my last year, I was 34 and the coach is like, oh, you know, have a few. I said, man, I don't want to rest. I want to train, and it gives me confidence so that when I get on the field, I know I'm ready to go. I'm sure there's some sports science behind it, but mate, the fittest I'd ever been and the toughest and the strongest I'd ever felt was being trained by a guy named Billy Johnson. And when I said to him, mate, have you got any sports science behind this work we're doing? He goes, yeah, mate, the Cunnamulla School of Medicine. He goes, you run till you spew. And then next time you run, you'll be able to run a bit further. And mate, it was hard. And mate, I contemplated throwing myself down a flight of stairs that we're running up at Currumbin. This is no lie. It was that hard. And what we were putting our bodies through, I contemplated throwing myself down the last flight because I thought if I just do it from here, I might maim myself enough. I'll just be able to miss this last set because it's so hard. Like, obviously, I didn't, and I finished it. But that's what creates toughness. That's what creates the guy that you look alongside you and you go, I can trust that guy. Yep. You know, because I know he was feeling the way I felt, and he did that set. You know, like, it's an important aspect.
Mate, got a couple of calls here. Let's go to Mick in the Darling Downs. G'day, Mick.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Yeah, very good, mate. How are you in Toowoomba?
Yeah, I come from Toowoomba originally, yeah.
T-bar. We call it T-bar.
Mick, can you clear something up? Do the locals at any stage refer to Toowoomba as T-bar?
Yeah.
Oh.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, not till about the last 15 years, but the last 15 years or so, yeah, it's T-bar.
Excuse me, Matt Rogers wants to say something to me.
You're,
go ahead.
Sorry, Jason. You're a Dragons fan, mate. Tell us what your thoughts are on this whole... you've got a comment about John Sattler, is that right?
I'm on Sats, and I've got to say a couple of things first. I met him after he twice in business world after he'd finished playing, and I've got to say, all the things that we hear about him now, he was a bloody gentleman in the 2 dealings I had with him, top notch. But I just want to set the scene. I'm an old Queensland boy, as I said, from the Darling Downs. I first started watching state football before it was State of Origin, and we were regularly flogged. Back in the days when we still had hookers who had the hook, because you had to pack a scrum and you had to strike and you couldn't use the second row. And Queensland had this hooker called Brian Fitzsimmons, fastest striker of a ball ever, best hooking hooker you'd ever want to meet. Played, I think, about 8 interstate games. 7 of those interstate games after his first, the next 7, first scrum of the game, he ended up on the ground out cold, and Sats had a bruised knuckle.
Yeah.
So I'd say that was back in the day where you had 1 camera at the footy, so you didn't have 10 cameras that could go close and see what was happening in the scrum.
No.
You had 1 camera at the back of the Lane Park Stadium, and you couldn't see who was every poor old Brian Fitzsimmons on his back at the end of the first scrum.
Yeah.
To his credit, the bugger always got up and come to the next scrum. So, yep, Sats was a hard bean. But when I was watching him play for New South Wales, he was a dirty man.
Yeah, wow.
Then he came to Queensland, and he played for West in Queensland. And the first state of, well, state of Rocha, the first interstate game I went to see as a 17-year-old in 1973, Schatz was held on my jersey for Queensland. And all of a sudden, Schatz was my dirty man, not theirs. I love the man. Good on you, mate.
All right, Mick.
Thanks, Mick.
Thanks for your call. Of course, the great man himself, John Sattler.
Yeah.
Number one golfer, Oyster Bay, is on the line. Have we got him this time? Are you there, number one golfer?
Yeah, I'm here. How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. You want to talk about the Dragons?
Good to hear. Yeah, absolutely. So certain sections of the media have been after Hook ever since he got there. I think when he came to the Dragons, I thought he was the best thing for the club for a while. Andrew Webster, for example, in the Sydney Morning Herald, he's been on his back ever since he got there, and Webster's actually a Dragon supporter. So I don't understand what he's on about. I mean, when Hook got there, he backed Ben Hunt to the hilt, where previously they wanted to play him as hooker, and look what he did last year. He almost carried the team to the finals, and he was the player of the year. And the way that actually started, Jacob Little's turned this club around. I've been saying for a few years, we haven't, the problem with the Dragons has been there's no dummy half that's getting get out like a Damien Cook and put the opposition at sixes and sevens, not sure what to do. Well, he's already doing that, and it's made a huge difference already. Mm. And I actually feel they're going to have a good season.
I do too.
Now I hear this. I might be parochial, but I actually thought before the season, this is the year that they're going to make the eight. They haven't made it for a while, and I haven't felt that before this season for a while, but I honestly did. And the way they started on the weekends, yeah, sure, they ran out of gas, but it was not just that; it was the amount of six agains that went against them and the penalties.
Yeah,
they just couldn't keep happening. I look past that. I think they've actually got a good side this year.
Well, test. Yeah, thanks for your call, number one golfer. Good test this weekend, Rattlers, when they take on the Sharks with Nicho Hynes returning.
Yeah, yeah. It is a big call. It's a big match, and form really goes out the window in this match because it's a genuine local derby, and there's a lot of hatred between these two clubs. So they both want to win it desperately. He's right, you know, like. You got Ben Hunt in there playing at hooker. You got him playing at halfback. You got him all over the shop. He's doing everything for that club. He's got someone in there to help him now. Mm. And I've said time and time again that number nine position, it is so critical in the game of rugby league now. If you cannot pose a threat in that middle, your edges they get killed because they're just racing out onto the halfback and the 5'8" and just shutting you down. If they can keep continuing on that vein of football that they played, I think they'll win more games than they lose.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this could come back and bite them big time on the backside. I actually have a feeling they may have even signed a coach. And how are you going to recruit players next year? How are you going to recruit players next year and they'll go, rightio, or retain players if they don't know who the coach is going to be next year? Well, because I wouldn't think they're going to publicly name a new coach. If they're dead serious about Hook having to apply for a continuation of his role, obviously that's going to be based on performances. Let's say he does get them to the finals. Let's say he gets them into September. Like, you're already teeing up contracts for the next year and after that for 2025. Yeah. You're not going to attract great players if you've got an unstable situation in a club where they don't even know who the coach is going
to
be.
Well, to be honest, you know, were they attracting great players in any case? They weren't, and I think they've just made it harder for themselves.
Yeah, good call. 0457 736 736. Keep your texts coming. The Aussies, by the way, the third ODI, and I know you don't like cricket during rugby league season. You're sounding like Sats. None for 24, 3.5 overs. Don't watch it.
What a four. That was a great four by Marsh.
Mitch Marsh has got 23 off 15. Travis Head, 4 off 9. Davey Warner batting at 3 tonight. Aussies win this. They wrap up the ODI series. And that's what matters. Like, we weren't there for the tests. Isn't it amazing how the pitches, by the way, are great for batting.
All of a sudden.
I don't know what's going on there. Yeah. A couple of more texts. So Fitzy, your mate Fitzy, reckons Desi signed.
Desi.
Coach the Dragons.
The Jedi Knight.
On Kafusi, fellas, if anyone in the game is in desperate need of an HIA, it's the MRC and judiciary. Appalling decisions have been coming out of that circus for years and nothing ever changes. That's from OJ. You're right, mate. Hi, boys. I find it completely ridiculous that the rugby league world has to miss watching people getting Kafusi'd for 4 weeks. It's stupid. We need consistency with these hits. It needs to get sorted. That's Mick from Margaret River.
Yeah, and another one on Kafusi. Hi, Woogie and the Rat. I wish that Peter Vellini was able to step in and save Felice Kafusi from last night's horrible judiciary hearing. I'd love to see the best versus the best on Friday night, Broncos Dolphins from Sporty Gav. I don't think that can happen. I don't think it would undermine the whole process, and it would set a precedent that would be. It'd be too hard to undo. I don't know what was said beforehand or if any. I mean, I don't know. It's just a schmozzle.
Before we go to the break, or we can do it after the break, what's coming up after the break? Let me have a look. Oh, well, we might even chuck this into That's Ridiculous. I'll hold off onto it. Code Sports, which I love reading. Wonderful stuff.
It is
special report on Australia's most marketable athletes. And I know Sam, who's filling in for Daddy Vass tonight, has just done this to rile me. I can't believe who Australia's most marketable sports person is. And I actually think number two should almost be at number one and number 33 should be in the top three. You can see it. And so we call that a hook and tease in the biz, Rat. Yeah, so just hold on.
I'm pretty happy with number 22.
What, being placed there?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I thought it was pretty high.
As in high, as in like... High as in too high on the list?
Yeah, I was surprised by that, yeah.
No, he's very marketable.
I love 47.
Yeah, 47's good. I love number 4. Like, you talk about marketable.
Oh, please.
That's marketable.
All right, you're making me angry. We'll get to this in just a moment. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Come on, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. There's got to be an investigation into this. This has got to be, someone's got to be accountable for this.
Yeah, welcome back to it. Matty Rogers, Jason Matthews here tonight. Our great mate Sats, he will be back Monday night, by the way, back on the show then.
Great to have him back.
It will be. Code Sports special report on Australia's most marketable athletes is one of my That's Ridiculous tonight, Matty. Now, each athlete is ranked according to their marketability score, which is generated by three categories. Personal brand strength. God, I hate that.
Personal brand. It's my brand.
Audience and reach and economics. The scores they receive across these categories are combined to determine a marketability score out of 100.
I'd like to know what they are, how they – like, I'd like to see it. I mean, because Anyway, there are some – obviously, the biggest names of Australian sport are in.
Are we going to go straight to number one, or are we going to talk about the others?
Well, let's start with your number 47, Latrell Mitchell.
Should be higher.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a huge character in the game of rugby league. He probably crosses codes in terms of his marketability.
Let's go to the top four.
Top four.
Well, actually, Nicho Hynes. You like Nicho Hynes?
Nicho Hynes is at 22. Yeah. See, I think Latrell Mitchell should be around there.
Cleary's 25.
Cleary's 25. Very marketable, yeah.
I love Alyssa Healy.
Alyssa Healy, yeah.
And Meg Lenning, 23, 22. But let's go to the top four. Your mate.
Nick Kyrgios. Number four. Mate, if he's not...
What?
Everybody knows who Nick Kyrgios is.
Yeah, but if you've got a brand, do you want him associated with it?
Nike obviously thinks so. Biggest brand in the world.
I wouldn't be giving him, if I was a tennis racket manufacturer, I wouldn't be sponsoring him.
Ah, they all smash him. We get a bit narky on the field. Josh Giddey, Australia's basketball superstar playing for the Oklahoma Thunder.
I love this kid.
Yeah, so do I.
But we don't see a lot of him, though.
No, but, I mean, you look, his endorsement deals in the US would be enormous.
But is he an Australian? And all, granted, Nick Kyrgios is an Australian household name. I don't think Josh Giddey is. I don't think he's a household name.
Would you rather be marketable in Australia? Like I always say, I picked the wrong country to beat a professional athlete in. If you're a professional athlete in Europe, you're a professional athlete in the US, you're making stupid money.
So Australia.
Not that I'm disappointed in my career. I'm grateful for it and I loved it and, you know, wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, but.
But Josh Giddey in the US, he's a, you know, was he a number one draft pick? He was up there. And, you know, he's doing great things in the NBA.
He could have won Rookie of the Year in his first year if he didn't injure himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Number two, I love this one.
Sam Kerr.
And I can't disagree with that.
Nah. No, I wouldn't have been surprised if she was number one.
Yep.
Just such a, you know what, I took my daughter to watch the Matildas play up at Lang Suncorp a couple of years ago. She watched the game, and after the game, those women, not only did they stay around and sign autographs, they got into the crowd. They were walking around the stands, getting photos with the young girls that were there to support them. They have so much gratitude for the opportunity that they're being presented right now to play on a world stage, to be paid well, to, and it's just, and it comes and it shows. And they were just beautiful. She got photos with my daughter and her little friend who we took along with her. It was just, it was beautiful. And it wasn't because we were anyone's, I wasn't anyone special. I didn't get any special privileges. That was just them being who they were as athletes, coming and giving back to the fans.
Yeah, it's amazing. Great. Tim says, you idiots. No, it's me. I'm the idiot here, Tim. Of course an NBA player has more pull than an NRL player. Yeah, I understand that. But I was just thinking, on a domestic level.
All right, yeah, is domestically.
Domestically. Rightio, and number one, I can't believe. So, go ahead.
Number one is the Australian cricket captain, Pat Cummins.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, look,
what do you think?
I like cricket, but I'm not a cricket man. You know, I'd think, you know, within this country, and we're obviously not just talking within this country, right? So within this country, I think a Latrell Mitchell would have more. But nationally, Pat Cummins.
And globally.
And globally, India, you know, the UK. You think about the reach that Pat Cummins has as the Australian cricket captain. That is a very highly, it's an honour bestowed on. You know, like it is. There's the Prime Minister and then there's the Australian cricket captain.
I
think that title is what I guess puts him in that position.
I'd have Uzi Khawaja above him. I think he's more marketable, and I also think the bloke who came in at number seven is more marketable than Manus Labuschagne.
Oh, Manus, yeah. Yeah, what a great batsman.
But you know what I mean? Like, number one batsman in the world. I'd actually have Steve Smith above Pat Cummins.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know where Steve Smith was on the list. He'd be on it.
Yeah. What do you think? 0457 736 736 is our text number. I've got one more that's ridiculous for you. Chicago Bulls legend Scottie Pippen's wife, Larsa, who's 48, claimed on Real Housewives of Miami, oh God, I've got to watch that after Maths finishes, that she used to do the horizontal monkey dance, right, in case there's any kids in the car listening, four times a night.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Oh, well, I guess it explains why Scottie Pippen used to have a bad back.
gets worse. You know what?
What?
Now she's dating a new bloke. His name's Marcus. His surname is Jordan. He is the son of Michael Jordan.
Wow.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Don't name names. Any teammates, have they dated a teammate's
son.
Offspring?
Offspring. Well, it could be son or daughter. Not that I know of in any way, shape or form.
This, for me, would be the equivalent to dating a mate's mother or sister.
Yeah, it'd be a bit odd.
You know what I mean?
It'd be awkward. I mean, when they all get together for Christmas, it'd be a bit weird.
Marcus is going in for back surgery next week.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. All right, got to go to a break. Simon Orchard from Greyhounds New South Wales joining us shortly. He's got a couple of tips for Wente Park tonight. Just a couple of texts before we go to the break. The Dragons board are taking the heat off the Tigers board a little. Poor treatment of their coach. Cheers, fellas. That's from Tassie Tiger. There's one here from the pain in my backside is Glenn, the reality king from Newcastle. How well are the Aussies doing in the sport Justin knows nothing about? Well, I could tell you they're none for 41.
Well, can I
6.3 overs.
Can I just follow on from Scott from Quakers Hill, because he's followed up and he's just said, like, I've been working long and arduous hours for the last few weeks. He's been performing at such a high level, like a Trojan, I have been. Just wondering, has Matt started filling out his long service leave forms yet? Maybe you boys could all chip in and send him to a day spa for a little treat and freshen up. Scott, you just keep sending those texts in, mate. Thank you. Thank
Scott.
You. So at least someone's appreciating me.
Scott, I'm sorry, mate. Someone's moved it. It's a one-week ban. All right, you're out. You've been cut off. Righty, yeah, break time. We'll catch up with Simon Orchard from Greyhounds New South Wales next on Sports Day.
The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day. We'll be back soon. The award-winning seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. Time to talk some Greyhound racing news. Simon Orchard is joining us. And Simon, the Ladbrokes Golden Easter Egg, Wentworth Park, April 8. By the way, Matty Rogers just stepped out for a minute. Oh, I can't wait for this. In fact, are you a big fan of Easter? I love my Humpty Dumpty. You like a Humpty Dumpty, Simon?
Mate, I reckon Easter is my favourite holiday, especially with two young kids now. Nothing better than opening up a million Easter eggs on Easter and watching them just guzzle down chocolate pretty much from dusk till dawn, and then they just don't sleep for 4 days straight. So, yeah,
what better way could
you spend a holiday? No, honestly, Easter's my favourite. I don't know what it is about Easter. Yeah, I love the chockies too. It's just a nice little holiday in the middle of, and I'm off to Byron Bay, would you believe it, for Blues Fest soon, so I can't wait for that as well.
How good are you? You're going to fill the kids up on chocolates and then bugger off to Byron Bay. That'd be nice. All right.
Now, listen. We're all in it together, mate. We've got a little trolley to put the kids in. They can go to sleep in there and hopefully listen to who's playing Gang of Youths. I think I'm most excited to hear up there at Byron Bay.
Right, you'll be able to get one of those fancy drinks that you drink there as well, Byron Bay. What are they? Spritzers or whatever you drink. Anyway, let's move on.
Bacardi Breezer.
That's it. The Country Classic was won by Showman Jack at Dubbo over the weekend. A great night had by all. Tell us about the winner and the link to the Great Horse Octagonal.
Yeah, wonderful story. So John and Julie Smart trained the dog Showman Jack, and Showman Jack's mum, Lovelace, actually ran in a bunch of group finals over 720 metres. Now, we earmarked him at the start of the year as a dog to watch. He hadn't really extended his brilliance to 600 metres, let alone 700, but the Country Classic rolled around. We knew that John and Julie were targeting him towards this race at the back end of last year, and it's great to see a plan come to fruition for them. Showman Jack jumped from box one. There's some really good greyhounds in the race. He just sat in behind the early leader, Ailey Bale, and then blitzed her in the last 100 metres or so there at Dubbo. Julie led the dog out and boxed it. She was speechless on the walk back to the victory post, and John was given the She's Apples Huey Bowman signal all the way down the straight, pumping his fist as well. And it's a nice little reference, as you mentioned, to Octagonal. So John actually used to be a strapper for the Hawks stable, and he actually strapped Octagonal in a couple of his preparations the back end of his career. So he said he learned everything he knew about preparing animals from the Hawks camp. He said there's a lot of similarities between getting a thoroughbred ready and a greyhound, and now they've got not a group race, but a race worth $125,000 and the Country Classic, the second ever taken out by Showman Jack. A wonderful night on track, and let me tell you, they were humming in the bar afterwards. I could have stayed there all night. Very dangerous place, Dubbo, when you've got free drinks and everyone having a great time.
Mate, was it a good crowd?
It was a ripper. Like, I know anyone who's been to a greyhound track of late will say that the atmosphere just is nothing like it used to be. And we're talking 15, 20 years ago when they were five or six deep on the fence. Well, that's what it was like out at Dubbo. It was the same last year, got around 2,000 people to the place. And I don't know what it is, whether it's just country people get around their sport more, whether they've got less to do, whether they just like having a good time. I don't know. Maybe Sydney's just a little bit difficult to try and get into Wentley Park as well. But we saw a return to the glory days and everyone on track had a ripping time. So it was wonderful. Oh,
good stuff, mate. We've got a lot of listeners, a lot of loyal listeners in Dubbo through TDU. So I hope a few of them got there as well. Now, our attention turns to the Golden Easter Egg, one of the most famous and historic dog races in the country. Before we find out what we can expect in the heats on Saturday, what's the prize money for this, mate? Because as we know, and we talk about it a lot, the prize money now in greyhound racing is nuts.
It is. And a dog like Showman Jack, for instance, just comes out of that $125,000 country classic, and he's engaged in the heat to the Easter egg. It's worth a cool $300,000. Oh, so $300,000 to the winner. Even less work than the country classic dogs. They had to run at least 600 metres. The Golden Easter Egg's 520. It's at Wentworth Park. And honestly, it's one of the hardest series to win. If you talk to any old dog people, they'll say, you know, a Melbourne Cup or a Golden Easter Egg, because you've got to go through the heats. Then you get to the semi-finals. And then, if you're lucky enough and you run well enough, you win the final as well. So it starts this Saturday night. We've got 10 absolutely ripping heats. They came out this morning. We've got dogs from New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, South Australia, and even a dog from Perth coming across to try and get a piece of that $300,000 pie. All the big stars from New South Wales are engaged. She's a pearl, obviously. She's our best dog at the moment. She's running around in a heat of this. And as I said, it kicks off Saturday, and it's 3 weeks of absolute glory. So the best of the best take out the Easter egg. It's been going for about 40, 45 years now, and I can't wait to see how the next couple of weeks shapes up.
$300,000. We're going to start seeing dogs turn up in Bentleys at Wendy Park soon, mate, if we keep going like this. Now, I go away.
Gold muzzles.
Yeah, gold muzzles, that's right, and gold teeth. I go away. I'm away for 1 week, Crook, and apparently now we've unofficially adopted a dog, and it's called Fat Pizza. Now, it's been running around the state during the week. How's it gone?
Yeah, we did, mate. You were away. What do they say? The cat's away, the mice will play. So, yeah. Maddie and Sassy, we inherited or adopted unofficially the dog Fat Pizza. I thought that just summed up the show perfectly. Fat, for obvious reasons, and pizza, because we all love that. Mm-hmm. And we adopted him for a reason, because he's a maiden, and he's still a maiden, I'm sad to say. He had two runs this week. He ran at Richmond and Bulleye. Still hasn't broken the maiden status. So he's had 55 starts now, no wins. 30 seconds and third. So he's not hopeless. And he's just ticked over $10,000 in career earnings. So there you go. You don't have to be a winner to make a crust in the greyhound game. And Fat Pizza, I reckon we can, well, at least continue to support him until he gets that maiden victory, which has to be around the corner somewhere.
Absolutely. A question without notice. Do you know where he's racing soon?
He doesn't have a nomination in, so he ran at Bulleye yesterday. I dare say he'll be going around Friday or Saturday somewhere, but I'll keep the listeners posted throughout. You can jump on, maybe I'll throw out a plug on the socials at some stage if you want to get around Twitter or Facebook. You can see where Fat Pizza's running next.
Sounds good. Now, any tips for Wenny Park tonight?
Yeah, we got two. Race 5, number 2, Ollie Impact. There's been some market support as well. Open 440 into 350. That's always a good sign. So race 5, number 2, Ollie Impact. And then race 8, number 8, Aston Barrick. Really interesting dog. I actually thought this dog would be engaged in the Easter egg heat. Jason Fletcher really knows how to place these dogs well. He must think that the dog's not quite ready. It had about a 4 month furlough over Christmas, like a bunch of us, and maybe just isn't quite at its peak yet. So race 8, number 8, Aston Barrick, is in a race that you wouldn't normally see running. So I reckon for that reason, it's a good play as well.
Rightio, the Greyhound Super Series presents the Ladbrokes Golden Easter Egg, Saturday, 8th of April at Wentworth Park. Simon, we'll catch you next week, mate.
Hurry, mate.
The award-winning 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day.
We are back.
Oh, we are.
But this thing's meant to be playing.
Oh. It's time for the last blast on Sports Day.
Before we get to some of the text, I just want to get to that story that's popped up this Arvo. Royce Hunt has called Corey Horsburgh A weak, gutted dog following their scuffle on Sunday afternoon. Hasn't that comment come back to bite the Raiders on the backside? What happened?
Oh, he held him in the scrum and, just a little scuffle. And he didn't punch him. He sort of like palmed him in the face and he got accused of punching, sent off for 10 minutes and didn't like it. I mean, it was not the best thing for Royce Hunt to do, and it cost the team. There's no doubt about it. Horsburgh went on to score 2 tries, and yeah, Royce Hunt was a little frustrated by it.
Have a listen to what he had to say.
You know, you can't just hold me in and push me over and not expect anything. But you know, it is what it is. It's rugby league. We'll get on with it and bash him next game. I've never seen a front row hide behind a halfback though.
You think that was poor form?
Yeah, definitely. You know, as Ricky Shewitt would say, he's a weak gutter dog, but we'll get him next game.
That's great.
Yeah. It's going to make for, I mean, how much is that going to be played in the week leading up to their next matchup in, I think it's round 27, last game before the finals. And I dare say both those teams will be in the mix. So not only will they be playing for final spots, but there'll be a little bit more emotion attached to that game, which
absolutely
make it interesting.
Matty Rogers has suggested that he has got the greatest last laugh.
No, I didn't say that.
You did.
I just said
you've been talking it up for 2 days.
It's not bad.
We're getting rat. My like is what?
But what? Am I doing my last laugh?
Not right now.
No.
When I tell you, you can.
Just
be on your toes.
Yeah, I'm ready. All right. I'm ready.
My like is, we didn't even get to likes or whatever it's called. The way Worm has handled himself this week, to do it privately is hard enough, but to do it publicly is so much harder. His mother, Barbara, and old man, John, have raised a good one. Yeah, that's from Rooster Mongrel. Rooster Mongrel also said MILF's rock in relation to Scottie Pippen's ex-missus, dating Michael Jordan's son. Yes, that's right.
The Big G has said, evening, Jace and Tank. I'd like to know who the Big G is because...
I'd like to know who the Tank is.
The Tank is me.
What?
When I was 4 years old, I started playing rugby league and I played in the second row and I used to just run as hard as I could. I was Martin Lang as a four-year-old and I used to run over blokes and I got the nickname Tank, and all the kids I played with from age 4 to about 9 or 10 when I moved to Queensland, all those kids still call me, they're not kids now, they still call me Tank. So he says, unfortunately, I think Hook gets treated the way he does because he's a good bloke.
True.
Great to hear Sats yesterday. It will get better. Memories are forever.
Hey, Michael from Des Moines. Hey, guys. When Nick enters the arena, that's Nick Kyrgios, I turn off the radio and TV. He is a flog. There you go.
Yeah.
A lot of Aussies think
polarizing.
Like that.
He's polarizing. There's no question about it. I like watching him. It's exciting. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't know whether you're going to get a dummy spit or some amazing tennis. I just think he's entertaining.
Some people are calling out for you to have a break and also to for us to chip in for you to go to a day spa.
I agree with them. 4 days a week.
Your mate Fitzy and loyal listener of Sports Day says he spent longer on the golf course than in the studio.
Well, the golf game's very important. I'm a part of a very important competition between the Glades geeks at the moment. And round one's on Friday, so I'm looking forward to it.
Nick from Newcastle, re-hook. What a stupid thing to do by the Dragons board after only round 3. The coach and team does not need this pressure and drama so early in the season. He needs to roll in head office. Heads need to roll in the head office, I should say.
Yeah, and Adrian from Rouse Hill says, sadly, the rules in rugby union ruin it as a spectacle. The constant repacking of scrums, boring pushover tries, the advantage rule, which goes on for an eternity, is a joke. Intercepts in rugby are pulled up and penalised. Rugby league has become even more exciting, whereas rugby union has become so dull to watch.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah, it is disappointing where it is at the moment.
I've got a compliment here for you, I think, from Muzza. G'day, fellas. Love the show. Jason, you guys have the greatest sports show. That's nice. Thank you. I miss Belcher, but the rat is great. I don't know how a club doesn't snap the rat up as an advisor to the coaching team. Amazing insights. Muzza and proud mate of Daniel from Prairie Wood. Correct me if I'm right. Actually, we haven't had that for a while. Everyone's moved my... Whoever was in here last week while I was sick has moved my stuff around.
Blaming people, mate. Stop blaming people. It's a bad trait.
Rightio, let's do it. You ready? I hope you're ready for it.
On Sports Day.
Oh, no, hang on. That's the wrong one. We've got one specially made up.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Matt Rogers.
Do not go anywhere. I would sit down if I were you. We've got a special guest coming up.
The stage is yours, Matt Rogers.
Matt Rogers!
An elderly couple, they're sitting in church and the elderly wife, she turns to her husband and said, "I've just done a silent fart. What should I do?" And the husband turned to her and said, "Change the batteries in your hearing aid." That's good.
No doubt Steve from Dubbo will let us know whether that was good or bad. I think I've just found, here it is.
Correct me if I'm right.
There we go. There's Sats. Correct me if I'm right. Hey, listen, thanks for your text tonight. It's been amazing. The phones and the text machine are blowing up, so we appreciate that. You can grab a podcast of the show, Sports Day New South Wales, wherever you get your podcasts from, or via the SEN app. Some of our SEN stations now are going to the driver's seat. Enjoy that show.
Nice.
Rat, we'll be back tomorrow night, mate. Your fourth day.
Oh, stop.
Goodbye!